Whoa. Just like Pastor Dermon last week, right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Speaking of Pastor Dermon, I don't have a joke. In fact, I asked Dr. Mitchell, I said, do you have a good joke for me? Of course, I shouldn't have asked him because does he ever have a good joke, right? And he said, brother, don't worry about it. I've heard you preach before. He said, every time you preach, it's a joke. So, no, it didn't go that way. But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and the title of my message is in form of a question, and is simply, how's your stewardship? You're already thinking what this is about, huh? How's your stewardship? Let's read verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and ask that as we cover a lot, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to open our hearts and see what you would have for us, and help us to get this idea of stewardship properly understood so that we can apply it to our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word stewardship? Money, right? That's what most people think, the first thing. Well, today, that's the last thing I want you to think about. All right? All right. Yeah, last thing I want you to think about today is money. A steward is a manager. And the word stewardship just sounds boring. I'm sorry, but it is. So hopefully it's not going to be a boring sermon. But a steward is a manager. And God has given all of us some things in our lives to manage. He's given you a life. You're supposed to manage it. And we're going to look at a few things. I don't have a long introduction. It's just about over, okay? We're going to look at a few things that God has for us to manage and to take care of. And the first thing I want you to see is he's given us all a soul. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. We've all been given some things in life. And most of what we'll cover today, we have. Some of you might not have point number 5 if we get there. But we all have been given a soul. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God made us different from the animals. You said, what makes us different? He made us a living soul. Now, the evolutionist, he doesn't want you to think that. He doesn't want you to believe in the Bible. He doesn't want you to believe in God. He doesn't want you to believe that there's someone who has authority over you. But God put it the way it is, and he made us differently. And he made us a living soul. Okay? And now, God gave us that soul. And that eternal soul will spend forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. Everybody has a soul. Now, I'm sorry, you might like your dog, but a dog doesn't have an eternal soul that's going to spend forever in heaven or hell. You know, God has given that to a man. And we have a decision what we're going to do with our soul. Are we going to put our soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to forgive us of our sin and to change our lives? Or are we going to just run through life trying to grab all that we can? And of course, we know Jesus, he left heaven, he came, he died on the cross. Why? To pay for our sins. We know that. But a lot of people haven't paid very much attention to the soul that Jesus came to rescue. They'll think, well, that's something I'll take care of later. Some of you younger people here, you say, well, I'll worry about that later. You're not promised later. None of us are promised another day. We all know people. When I was growing up, going through school, there were kids in my class who died. They didn't expect to die. And shortly after graduation, there was others who died. None of us are guaranteed of another day. And so we better make sure we don't neglect our soul. But multitudes of people have neglected their soul. So when you think of stewardship, you don't really think of your soul, but you should. God wants us to be faithful stewards. In the book of Mark, it says in chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Jesus asked some good questions. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Those are some good questions. And a lot of people will give about everything they can. They'll give their soul up to get all that the world offers. There's, in some parts of Africa, the method used to capture monkeys is quite clever. They put a hole in a gourd, and the hole is just big enough for the monkey to put his hand in. Then inside the gourd, they put some nuts, and they tie that gourd to a tree. And the monkey will go up, and he'll put his hand in the gourd, and he'll grab the nuts, and once his hand is filled with nuts, it's too big to pull out of the gourd. And of course, the gourd is attached to the tree, and he can't get away. All he has to do is do what? Let go of the nuts, his hand's out, and he's free. But he's not going to let go of the nuts. So he keeps his hand full, can't get his hand out of the gourd, and he's captured. You know, that is a picture of a lot of people in life, isn't it? People refuse to let go of their sin. They refuse to let go of their earthly treasure. Not that you have to give up your earthly treasure to be saved, but they refuse to let go of those things that are going to be their ruin. And God wants to rescue us. There are two men who were riding by the estate of a wealthy man who had recently died. And one of them said, "What do you think the value of that estate is? I mean, look at that mansion on that hill. He must be worth something." And the other man looked at him and says, "Well, I don't know what the value is, but I know what it costs the owner, his soul." Because he knew that that man was not a godly man. Now, if you had gained everything that this life had to offer and you lost your soul, it'd never be worth it. It would never be worth it. And people are so distracted by this world and all the things it has to offer, the money, the sin, and the pleasures, and they forget that they got a soul that they got to deal with. What shall it profit a man? You're going to die someday. Have you neglected your soul? I fear for so many people. Again, I'll say again, especially the young people. They think, "Man, I got all of life ahead of me. You're not guaranteed of another day." Man, we go out to the basketball courts, and on every basketball court, there's someone who thinks they're going to be the next Michael Jordan, the next Kobe Bryant, right? And they're not all going to be the next Michael Jordan or the next Kobe Bryant. You go out to the soccer field. In my day, in the soccer field, you all wanted to be like Pele. Now, some of you younger people say, "Who was that?" He was the greatest of his day, okay? But it doesn't matter. Not everyone's going to, you're not all going to be great. We're not all going to be great. We're not all going to be rich. We're not all going to be famous. And people spend all their lives chasing after things that they're never going to catch anyway, and they forget their soul. You are going to meet God one day. Now, the Apostle Paul, he realized he needed Jesus. He had a lot going for him before he got saved. He had position. He had power, he had authority, he had a lot going for him. His name was Saul of Tarsus. But then he said, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord." He said, "I need Jesus." And I hope that you get that thought today. If you get nothing else, you need Jesus. You can get everything else, but if you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. All right, so we need to make sure that we're managing some things. We need to manage our soul. Have you neglected the most important thing that God's given you, your soul? I hope not. If you have, I hope you'll turn to the Lord today and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The second thing I want you to see that we've all been given is a body. Okay? Not only do we have a soul, but we have a body. And the body is the house of the soul. Okay? This body carries around my soul. When this body dies, the soul's going up to heaven because I'm saved. I'm thankful the Lord saved me. Amen for that. And for every saved person, not only is the body the house of your soul, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, if you're saved. Okay? And 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us that. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. If you're saved, you've been bought, you've been purchased. Now, if you go out and buy something, it's yours, right? You can do what you want with it. God bought us, and He has some rules for us. He has some guidelines for us, and He has every right to tell us what to do with our body and what not to do with our body, where to take it, how to treat it. And then he continues there. He says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we got to be careful about a few things with our body. First thing we need to do is we need to be careful about what we do to our body. You need to be careful what you do to your body. You need to be a good steward. You say, stewardship's supposed to be about money. I told you, that's the last thing I want you to think about. We are managers of what God has given to us. A soul. A body. How well have you managed your body? As I said, we need to be careful about what we do to our body. As we just read, God gave us a body for what purpose? To glorify Him. He says, He said, which are God's, we're supposed to glorify Him in our body, in our spirit. We're supposed to glorify God with it. All the things you did this last week, were they all glorifying to God? Or were some of them against God's word? Unfortunately, instead of using their body to serve God, many people abuse their body. Okay? Drugs, alcohol, smoking, all that destroys the body. We know that. But people get involved and they don't care. Hey, I just do it. It's not your body. You're a steward of it. What about overeating? Ooh, no, don't touch that one. Yeah, overeating, that destroys the body too. It leads to heart disease, diabetes, stroke. All of those can be complications of overeating. I don't want any of those. You know, when people sit there and say, well, I know this is bad for me, but I like it. And they just keep stuff in their face, you know. It's not your body. You need to take care of your body. Not only what we do to our body, but also where we bring our body. You know, you got to be very careful what you do with the house of the soul. And if you're saved, the temple of the Holy Spirit, where you take that temple. There's just some places it not ought to be. It should not go. You know, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't feel comfortable in a bar. Did you know that? He doesn't feel comfortable sitting down at the poker table. Okay? He's not gonna enjoy the dance clubs and all the movie shows with all the filth and the garbage and the immorality, the sex, the nudity, and all the wicked language and cursing and taking God's name in vain. The Holy Spirit's not gonna be comfortable there. We all have to be careful where we take our body. I'll tell you where one place that the Holy Spirit likes to be, in church. So we're all good this morning, amen? All right. We all did the right thing with the body this morning. At least we got it out of bed and we got it to church. God likes to be in church. He likes us to be faithful to services. And we got to remember that we're responsible for our body. And then, thirdly, we need to see we're going to have to be careful what we do with our body. A little different than what we do to our body, what we do with our body. Again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have no right to use your hands the way you want to, your eyes the way you want to, the ears the way you want to, your feet, your mind as you please. You don't have that right. Here's a story about a man years ago. He was a preacher. And back in those olden days, they didn't just jump in a car and travel. They got on a train. So he's on a train, and as he's traveling on the train, some other men were sitting by him and said, "Hey, would you like to play cards with us?" He says, "Oh, I'd love to, but I can't." "So why can't you?" I said, "Well, I don't have any hands." They looked down. They said, "What do you call those?" He said, "Oh, those aren't mine. Those belong to God." What was he saying? "I'd like to do those things, but this isn't my body anymore. I'm saved. I'm letting God have control of my body." And we all ought to have that same attitude about our body. You can't use your hands to gamble with them and please God. You can't use your ears and fill them with sensual music. You can't use your eyes to be lusting after someone you're not married to. We're not supposed to be using our tongue to spread gossip. It's not our body. You know, a lot of people, immorality is so rampant it's unbelievable. To find anyone who saved themselves from marriage is, it's people they're laughed at and scorned at, like, oh no, you won't be laughing when you meet God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord." That's what God has given us a body for. Not to use as we please. Not to run around and sleep with anything that breathes. Our body is for God. He says in Hebrews chapter 13:4, he gives a warning. He says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge." He will judge. It's not your body. What are you doing with your body? Are you managing it wisely? Are you managing like it's God's? We need to. We need to be good stewards of our soul, good stewards of our body. Because we're going to give an account to God one day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We're all going to stand before the judgment seat. There's a day of reckoning coming. Live like you want to live now. You will regret it later. And knowing that we will one day be judged ought to motivate us to be good stewards of our body. So, God wants us to be good stewards of our soul, of our body. Thirdly, He wants us to be good stewards of our emotions. Do you know that God has given us emotions? You know that, because you have emotions. Emotions are not bad. Not all of them. God has emotions. God gets happy. God is sad when we sin. But emotions basically are this. They're expressions of our feelings. That's what emotions are. And many things can trigger our emotions. And those triggers can cause us to experience a variety of feelings. Right? If you start talking about someone's mama, anger, right? I mean, that is the feeling that is, boom. The emotion is just, you know, I said that and some heads went, whoop, looked up, all of a sudden got someone's attention. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, wait a minute. Don't go talk. I'm not talking about her, okay? I'm just simply saying this, that it does stir up some emotions, doesn't it? Oh, it sure does. There are emotions that have triggers. These emotions come out. And God expects us to be good stewards of those emotions. Now, you can't control the triggers. You can't control what's going to trigger you. But you can control your responses. And that's what God wants us to do. And He expects us to be in control and to manage those emotions. A lot of people are totally out of control with their emotions. Now, I don't know. There's some people who suggest that there's seven basic emotions. I don't know how many there are. They say there's happiness, sadness, fear, anger, surprise, disgust, and contempt. All of those, I don't know. I know some of those are emotions. I'm sure there's a few others too. Happiness doesn't usually get us in a lot of trouble. Sometimes it does. People are just so busy laughing and having a good time that they forget to be serious about things. But most of the time, the emotions that get most people in trouble are sadness, fear, contempt, and anger, if you want to boil it down to those. Really? Let's look at those individuals just for a couple minutes here. First one is sadness. You know, everyone in life experiences disappointments. Everybody. We were hoping something was going to work out. It doesn't work out. There's all sorts of disappointments. There's financial disappointments. There's health disappointments. When the doctor tells you you got some issues that you didn't think you had, and it's disappointing. All sorts of disappointments. However, some people focus on the problems, and they end up going into a state of depression. Let me tell you something. That's never God's plan for your life. Depression is never God's plan for your life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful. That means be worried, be anxious, be uptight. He says, be worried, be careful for nothing. Nothing. So that's a choice. We have to choose. I'm not going to get uptight about this. I'm not going to get worked up about this. And if we don't make that choice, we're going to get worked up. We're going to get uptight. We're going to be full of anxiety. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's God saying? Worry about nothing and pray about everything. If we pray about a thing, then we don't have to worry about it. Because we know God's going to take care of it. And we all have to exercise the right choice here in how we handle our problems. And I'm just suggesting we should choose to trust God and stop being filled with a bunch of worry. People worry. Another one that gets people in trouble, another emotion, is fear. Now again, God wants us to control, to manage, and be good stewards of our emotions. Don't be out of control in depression. How you doing? You know, fear. I'm telling you, some people, that everything, they're afraid of everything. And there are things out there that make us fear. David, he's the one that killed Goliath, but you know, the other times in his life, he had fear. And he said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Doesn't mean you'll never have fear, but what do you do with the fear? You trust God. And fear causes people to retreat, causes them to hide. They withdraw from society. They withdraw from friends. Church is over. They just kind of cut out. They just kind of stay away from people. Fear is a horrible thing. It's the opposite of faith. When Jesus confronted the disciples, when they were out there in the Sea of Galilee, the big storm came, and they're all worried, and they're waking them up. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cared. He confronted them. He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He actually answered the question in his question. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why? Because fear always replaces faith. But faith replaces fear. So when you are filled with fear, I don't know how it's going to work out, you don't have any faith. So what do? Trust God. How do you trust God? Read His Word. Believe it. Grab a promise. Claim it. And when these overwhelming circumstances face us, we've got to learn how to lean upon God. And He'll help you overcome them. I did mention David, but do you know David, when he faced Goliath, he had no fear. Do you know why he had no fear at that time? He was fully trusting that God was going to help him. And did God help him? Yes. And He helps us when we have faith. And He'll help us all the time that way. Another emotion we got to be worried about is contempt. You say, what's contempt? Contempt is that feeling that something or someone is beneath your consideration. It's just like, you thinking that that person or that thing is just is below you. It's worthless. It's just, yeah, whatever. You know where that stems from? It stems from the sin of pride. A lot of people get that smug feeling. Someone tries to warn them. Someone tries to help them. Someone tries to say, hey, you need to do this way. And it, yeah, I don't need you. Come on, just get off me. Right? They walk around with a chip on their shoulder all the time. You know, it's pride. And the Bible says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And let me give you the last one that's usually a problem to us is anger, that emotion. Ooh, anger. Anger can lead to a lot of problems. Huh? A lot of problems. These superstar athletes, he gets mad in the bar, he goes out, shoots somebody, he's in prison, right? Hernandez, right now, he's in prison. Anger. The Bible says in James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. People are killed because of anger. Husbands and wives are fighting. They're throwing things at each other. They argue. They get divorced. Why? Because of anger. There's car accidents because of road rage. Now there's everything rage. There's rage about everything. Everyone's angry about everything. There's always anger. And some people say, I just can't help it. That's just how I am. No, you can help it because God says that we're supposed to be angry and sin not. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's a command. Well, I'm just angry, and that's just how I am, and I just fly off the handle all the time. Well, then you better learn how to not fly off the handle all the time. And you better learn to be a good steward of the emotions that God gave to you. You say, well, I can't do that. No, none of us can do that in and of ourselves, but we need the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that part of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, which is self-control. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we will have control over our emotions. But when someone's just flying off the handle all the time, they're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're in depression all the time. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not trusting God. God wants us to be in control. And we're all going to give an account for our actions one day and for our emotions. Let me move now quickly. Number four, another thing that God has given all of us that we need to be stewards of. Right? It's required of stewards, that a man be found faithful. What's the fourth thing? Talents. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's made you a new person. And once you're in God's family, he has a purpose for your life. And he'll give you talents and gifts to fulfill your mission. That's exciting. That's actually pretty encouraging, isn't it? God will give you something and some ability to be a blessing and a help to others. He gives us all something to be a blessing to others. But two sad things happen in the lives of believers. First, some use their talents completely for selfish reasons. They use all the gifts and talents to pursue fame, fortune, and all that stuff. Another sad thing is when Christians fail to recognize that God can actually use them. And so they don't live up to their potential. They feel inadequate. Well, I don't know if I can do this. But they can do it because God's equipped them to do it, but they don't meet their potential because they don't believe and trust God. And He's gifted all of us. If you're saved, he's gifted you. So I don't know what my gifts are. Well, ask him. Study the Bible. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you. He says having, not getting, having. We have, not that we will get them. If you're saved, you have a gift that might be different than someone else has. Because God's not going to use everyone the same way. I don't have to be like Pastor Dameron. Amen? You don't have to be like anybody else. You just have to be you, filled with the Spirit of God, and God can use you. Amen? Stop trying to be somebody else. We don't worship man, we worship God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 6, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." There's diversities. There's different gifts that God gives to people. He says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." Every believer is given gifts and is given the Spirit of God to help them and to lead them and to guide them and to empower them to do things for Him. We have talents. Don't be discouraged thinking, "I can't do anything." We're all equipped differently to serve in our local church, but we're equipped. And the question is, how have you managed your talents for God? There was a wealthy lady. She was an elderly lady, and she gave very liberally to help a rescue mission in London. And she was very faithful to the services also. She'd go down there. She was a deaf lady. And there's a lot of things she couldn't do because she was deaf. But she went down and she did what she could. She did have a very radiant, joyful Christian personality. And she went down there. And one time a visiting preacher inquired of her. She says, "So what is your part in the work here?" Instead of saying, "Well, I give money," she didn't try to take any credit for that. She says, "I smile them in and I smile them out." She couldn't sit there and carry on a conversation because she couldn't hear people, but she could smile. And in a place where there are so many down and out people, that warm smile made a difference in many people's lives. You know what she did? She did what she could. She found a place of service. Yes, she gave and she helped, but she also went down there and lent a hand. And if this deaf lady found something to do for God, so can you. We can all do something for the Lord. So, what can you do for others? Why don't you think about it? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you do something about it? God wants us to be busy for Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." Every member of the church, God put him right where He wants him, and He put you there for a special purpose. Not everyone's going to be up here singing, right? Like the Mitchells. They sang that nice song before we got up to preach here. You notice they've never asked me to sing. I'm not even in the choir. And I threatened Bobby up there. I said, "Don't turn on the microphone when I'm up, you know, when I'm up here singing the congregational songs." We all have talents. We all have gifts. But that's a good thing, that God can use all of us. He wants to use all of us. But some people just, they're not going to do anything for God. Or they're not doing all that they could for God. God wants them to do more and they're just not busy doing anything. What are you doing with your talents and your gifts and the abilities that God's given you? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 14, He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Don't neglect it. He gave it to you for a reason. Do something with it. Get busy. Jump into a ministry. He says in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." Stir up that gift. Don't let it just sit there dormant. Put it to practice. Engage it. Then he said, he added, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We don't have to be fearful. God's given us what we need to get the job done. So don't look for a position in the church. Just look for a place to serve. Just be a servant. God has people for you to help. Find your place in the church. whether it's on the bus route, helping out in the Sunday school class, working in the Jolly 60s ministry with retired folks, or visiting a nursing home and helping the people there. God wants every one of His children to serve. And unfortunately, you know what a lot of people want to do? They want to be served. What can this church do for me? Oh, no. What can you do for the church? It should be the attitude, amen? People, they'll come in and just, you know, I want this. I like the school. I like the youth group. I like the camp. I like this. Just give me all these things. What do you give back? What do you give back? You want to be great? I'll tell you how to be great. Jesus said it here in Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's how you be great. Just be a servant. Help people. There were two boys who went off to boarding school. And they were assigned some menial tasks. You know, clearing tables, mopping floors, all the really fun stuff that boys like to do, right? Obviously not. That's not what they wanted to do. And one of the boys, man, he really didn't like to do it. He wanted to be out playing. So he'd rush through his job and he'd run off to play. His friend, though, of course, he wanted to go and play too. He didn't go and play. He did his job and then he finished his friend's job for him. You say, man, that must have been a good friend. What did he owe him? He owed him nothing. And he kept at this for a while. And some of the faculty started picking up on it and said, no, why are you doing your friend's work for him? He said, well, it's simple. The Bible says that whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your servant. He said, and I want to be great. So I just figured I'd try the Lord's way and see how it works. And guess what? Worked pretty well, didn't it? Because we consider it a pretty good guy. If you want to be great, learn to serve. Serve. Do you have a ministry in the church to serve others? Some of you do. And if you do, how have you managed that ministry? How have you managed that Sunday school class? How have you watched over those children under your watch care? How have you managed the bus route? How have you managed the nursing home ministry? What kind of steward are you? Do you prepare properly? Do you pray like you should? You're supposed to be a steward. You say, this is stewardship month. We're supposed to be talking about money. You know, there's a whole lot of other things that are more important than money, aren't there? Colossians 4:17 says this, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. If God has given you a ministry, fulfill it. And God wants everybody to serve somehow. Let's move on quickly here. The fifth thing that God has given to all of us is family. Now, not everybody's married and not everybody has children. But I'll tell you one thing. One of the most important things that God has given to you is your family. We'll begin with marriage. You know, the husband, he's supposed to love his wife. He's supposed to lead her in a way that's proper and fitting for her. The wife is supposed to submit to her husband. She's supposed to help her husband. They're supposed to lift one another up. They're supposed to love one another and forgive one another. You know, marriage is simply two sinners coming together. Amen? And sometimes you have to deal with each other. And you know what you have to learn to do? Just like you want to be forgiven when you mess up, you need to learn to forgive the other one when they mess up. And love one another. Love and forgiveness, they go together. I just wonder, what kind of a steward have you been of your marriage? Have you just neglected some things? I don't have time to preach on marriage, but just think about that. Maybe God's been dealing with you about that. How about your children? We're supposed to be good stewards with our children. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children, man, they're not supposed to be just the brats that get under our skin. They are the inheritance. They are a reward from God. Now, if you don't train them right, they're going to be pretty bratty. But they're a blessing from God. How well are you directing your kids? Are they under control? Have you been a good steward? Listen, if you've been blessed with children, you need to remember who gave them to you. God did. Man, you watch some people, they almost idolize their little babies. Man, they almost like bow down and worship their little babies. Oh, they run to every little whim and everything. Listen, train them. Teach them. Don't worship them. Why did he give them to us? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, they will not depart from it. We're given children to train them for him. Are you a good steward? Do you teach them the Bible at home? Do you correct their disobedience? Do you let them throw a fit? Do you control their entertainment? Do you guard their friendships? There's a whole lot that goes on in being a good parent. And the simple question is, are you a good steward of your children? Are you a good steward of your family? And the last point is this, money. He said, "You know, I told you the last thing I wanted you to think about concerning stewardship was money. I didn't say I wasn't going to discuss it. I just said it was the last thing I wanted you to think about." When it comes to money, stewardship does not primarily refer to giving. It refers to managing. Okay? If you manage your money well, you'll have some to give. Amen? But stewardship is, in regards to money, is just simple money management. And if you cannot manage your money, you'll probably miss out on a lot of important things in life. In fact, God says that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," that's money. If you haven't been faithful with that unrighteous, that filthy money, you haven't been faithful with money, you haven't managed that well, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, you can look up in the Bible. You think riches always refers to money? Do a study sometime. I have. And riches does not only refer to money. Who will give you the true riches? Chances are that if you're not a good steward of your soul, your body, your emotions, your talents, your family, that you're probably not a good steward of your money either. If you're out of control in your emotions, you're probably out of control in your money. Stewardship applies to everything. And if you don't get the whole thing, the whole concept sorted out, you're not going to manage your money well either. He wants you. It is not just your money. He wants you. If he's got you, he's got your money. But how have you managed your money? Do you have a budget? People talk very loosely about a budget. Yeah, if it's something that they don't want to spend money on, hey, can you donate to this cause? Well, it's not in my budget. But they don't have a budget. They're just saying it's not in their budget because they don't want to help out. But if there's something that they want to buy, it's amazing how quickly and easily it's in their budget that doesn't exist. A budget is a written plan. It's just, this is how I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to put this much in the offering. I'm going to put this much aside for my car insurance. I'm going to put this much aside for a car. I'm going to put this much aside for food. This much aside for my rent, my utilities, and all that. It goes right down the line. It's just a written plan, and you follow it. And then if you want to buy something, you go and see if you have the money for it. If you don't, then you don't buy it. But what happens? People buy things because they want to buy, because they're out of control with their money, because they're out of control with their emotions, they're out of control with their body, they're out of control with everything, and they're not good stewards with anything, and then they go out and buy whatever they want, and they get in debt. And now their finances are a mess, and they say, "Well, I can't give to God. I owe too much." Isn't that funny? People say, "I can't give to God. I don't have enough money." Is that right? You give to McDonald's when your stomach growls, don't you? You give to Verizon or AT&T or whoever you use for your smartphone. And that's a lot of money a month. I wish somebody had didn't have their smartphone this morning. Not very smart phone this time. People, I don't have money to give, but it's amazing how much they can give every month to their TV provider. No, but you're touching on things. I need my TV. I need my smartphone. I gotta have McDonald's. You know, we don't need all those things that we think we need, do we? And the truth is, we have money. We say, I don't have money to give to God. No, you have money. You just decide to use it on something else. Something that's more important to you than God is. Oh, God wants us to be in control. He's given us so much. The least we could do is control our money and give a little bit back to Him after He's given so much to us. Give Him our tithe. Give Him an offering. How well have you managed your money? If you manage it well, you'll have more to give. There are some people that would like to give more to God because of bad management, bad stewardship. They don't have the opportunity to give more. Although you still need to give your tithe. If you're in debt, you still give your tithe, or you're going to get more in debt. But you're going to be hindered from giving a larger offering than maybe you'd want to, but you're going to be hindered because you don't manage your money wisely. Make some decisions. How am I going to spend my money? I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to control that. And then you'll have the money that you need to serve the Lord with. Everything that we have comes from God. And on Judgment Day, we're going to give an account for it. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I've tried to get you to see that God has given you a lot of important things to take care of, not just money. How are you doing? How are you doing with it? What have you done with your soul? Have you neglected it? Or is it time you get saved? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Don't neglect your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You need to get saved. What are you doing with your body? What are you doing with your emotions? The talents that God has given you. The family. And yeah, your cash too. What are you doing with those things? God wants them to be under control. And that's why If you're ready to take responsibility for your life, you need to come to God, and you need to ask for forgiveness for your sin. Say sin, yeah, mismanaging your if your emotions are out of control, you're using your body the wrong way, all that's sin. You're neglecting your family, that's sin. You go into debt because your money is not squared away, that's sin. You need to ask God to forgive that sin. And then you need to ask God for wisdom to help you start managing things. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give you the wisdom you need to get your life in order. You can have a good life. You can have a happy life. You can have a successful life. And your life doesn't have to be out of control anymore. If you got an out of control life, you're not a good steward. And God has given us everything we need to be good stewards. We just have to come to Him.